You can never hear this enough, nor can you ever say it enough. We want to say
Happy Mother's Day
to everyone, of course, including the mothers. And, the title of our sermon this morning, or our message, or even of our service, is The Legacy of Mothers. We certainly would love to encourage and inspire you all, be it all the way from Halifax, of course, to our city here in Ottawa. And there are many, I know, that tune in from all across the world. And we trust that you're going to be encouraged and inspired in your faith this morning. Yes, while we'll be talking about our mothers, but even as it relates to our relationship with God. The legacy that we leave is remarkably important. There's a lot of people who leave a legacy of money. A lot of people are working in their lives to be able to give their children an inheritance. And there's nothing, of course, inherently wrong with that. There's a lot of people who want to leave a good name behind. There's a lot of people where their names are on a building or on a bench somewhere where that is their legacy. And of course, all those things are very, very important. And we hope that we leave some kind of legacy. But I really believe one of the most important legacy we leave behind is the legacy of faith. And particularly, we're going to be talking about the faith of our mothers, generational faith. And it's something for us to be encouraged by this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we read a scripture there this morning that is going to be the impetus, if you would, for us to talk about this idea, that this concept, and then Melanie is going to expand on it, and then I'll wrap up our time here together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. This is what it says. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you. So encouraged that we see even so early as Paul was writing this generational legacy that these amazing women passed on one to another. Now, before we even continue today, I want to acknowledge that I know there's a lot of people that this day is a difficult day. One, that their mothers maybe have passed away. Or there are people who do not have a great relationship with their mothers for a lot of reasons. Maybe there are some issues of abandonment. There are a lot of situations. Or, one of the things that Manly and I try to do, we have a sister that we know, and Father's Day and Mother's Day, we try and call them because their child that they were about to have was stillborn and have never been able to have a child that was alive. And so it's a very painful time for her. And so we call and we try to encourage at this point in time. And so I want to acknowledge that for sure that this is not a time. And as a matter of fact, sometimes this can be so painful that some people can't even watch. And amen. Hey, no judgment. We just want to use this time to encourage. As we're lifting up mothers and the legacy of mothers, we certainly do not want to put down anyone who is in a difficult situation. And so I wanted to really acknowledge that and really help you to understand that we really, really understand that concept. There is no greater role, none, than that of a mother. The idea of the impact, the idea of the connection, there's no CEO, no political leader, no religious leader that has a more important role that they can pass on to their child in a connection. And I say this even as a father, and I love my kids, and my one grandchild, that the mom plays a role that I cannot play. And so, and Paul writes in, and he acknowledges the generational faith that these women had in their lives. And so Melanie's going to share here for a couple of minutes about this concept, and then I'll close this out, and then we'll have a time of communion together, certainly after the worship. Babe, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Mm. You know, motherhood, it is one of the greatest blessings that God has ever given us. And it can also be one of the greatest challenges, challenging our own faith, challenging our own security. I know a lot of us as mothers wonder often if we do enough. You know, maybe you can relate to this. I read this on the internet. It said a mom is an alarm clock, a cook, a maid, a waitress, a teacher, a nurse, a referee, a handyman, a security officer, yep, a photographer, a counselor, a chauffeur, an event planner, a hairdresser, a personal assistant, an ATM, yes.
Yes.
She doesn't get paid for her holidays. She doesn't get sick pay or days off. She works day and night, and she is on call 24/7 for the rest of her life. And you probably could add a few more things to that and be absolutely correct in your definition of a mom. But according to scripture, mom is also a faith giver. As Tony read in Timothy's genealogy, she is also a faith restorer. You know, often I think, and too often, unfortunately, as moms, we can feel like we aren't doing enough. And we can ask ourselves the question, does it really matter what I do? And especially, I think, as your kids are going through those teenage years, and they don't seem to reflect very much of what you've taught, you can ask yourself that question. And that question can often run very deep and run very painfully. I don't know about you, but around this time of the year, I read Proverbs 31. I don't know why, maybe to challenge myself, but I don't know if you feel this. You know, I just took a couple lines from the Proverbs 31 woman. It says she's clothed with strength and dignity. There are some times where I wonder, what am I going to wear today? Like, do I even want to get dressed today? It says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. In the early years of my parenting, I remember saying words like, no, maybe, absolutely not. And I felt like those were the words of wisdom that were coming out of my mouth. It says she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Sometimes, and I'm dating myself by using this quote, but sometimes as a mom, I just longed for those Calgon take me away moments. I just shut the door in the bathtub with my bubble bath. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And I know all of us, that's what we want. That's what we desire, to hear those words. But we can often read scriptures like that and think, there's no way. Who is this woman? Where does she come from? And can God just clone her in me? You know, recently, Tony and I have been reading the Psalms every morning, sort of as a, you know, offering, a spiritual offering to God before we eat anything. And so I was reading this the other day, or a few weeks ago, in Psalm 86. And it says this, it's a prayer that David is praying to God. And he says, turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Now, when you read the Bible, you read an enormous amount of things about David. And historically speaking, David is an incredible figure, not only in Judaism, but in Judeo-Christian history. He was an amazing man, a man not without faults, because we learn all about those as well. But there's this one line you read here about his mother. You don't really read, as far as I could tell, anything about David's mother. According to history, David was the son of, genealogy, David was the son of Jesse, and someone by the name of Nitzavet. We know from his genealogy that he was the great-grandson of Ruth, and we know a lot about Ruth from the story of Ruth. But we don't know much about his mother, which is, but what I find so fascinating is this one little verse that tells you so much about the woman that she was. That as David in his anguish is crying out to God, he asks God to please help him and protect him because he's reaching out to him, to God, the way that his mother did. And in the way that you helped my mother, which tells me David's mother had a faith in how she was with God, that she had a conviction to turn to her God. And David witnessed that conviction. You know, I think there's a lot of things we can give our children. I think as mothers, we do give our children a lot of things. We are all those things that Google mentioned, you know, and many, many more. But I actually think our faith expressing itself through love is the most profound thing we can give our children. And that faith is not always this grand, amazing gesture. It's not always this powerful, overarching thing. Sometimes it's just a mustard seed. But that is what Galatians 5:6 says. It says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And I know as mothers, what we have in abundance is a love for our children. And even if no one can see the superstar that our kids are, we see the superstar in them. If no one can see the potential that they're going to be, we see the potential. We see beyond all of the faults, and we see the goodness and the greatness in our children. And when, as disciples and as children of Jesus, what we offer them is not just be the best that you can be, but what we offer them is a path toward being like Jesus, which ultimately is the greatest gift a mom can give their children. Our legacy is our faith expressing itself through love. So today, I really want to encourage you, no matter what, great or small, no matter what you think you've done or haven't done as a mother, just remember that your love and your faith that expresses itself through love has done a lot. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. Enjoy your day off.
You know, it's quite remarkable to see that Paul was writing and he fully acknowledged the relevance, the importance, the significance of both his mother and his grandmother and their faith. And today, honestly, could be the beginning or a solidifying of the legacy that you will have with your lineage. So I ask you a question. What is the legacy of your faith that you're leaving your children? We see the importance, we see the relevance. Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit about, speaking of this grandmother, right? And this generational faith that is passed on, mom to grandmother to great-grandmothers. Speaking of David, of course, his genealogy has in it a woman by the name of Naomi. Now, if you know the story of Naomi, Naomi was a woman, her and her husband were living in a time when there was a great famine. And in that great famine, within that time, she had two sons. And her husband and these two sons got married, one to Ruth, one to Oprah. And so the idea is that they got married and they're living, but because of the famine, her husband and her two sons died. Then she gave her daughters-in-law the opportunity, hey, to go back. You don't need to be tied to me. Don't worry about me. You guys go find yourself some husbands, and it's okay. I'm all good. And of course, we know the story about Ruth, and not that Oprah did the wrong thing, but she says, hey, listen, I'm sticking with you. And she became this mother-in-law, if you would, became such a mother figure for Ruth and instructed her and inspired her and realize, hey, let's not get bitter even in this time of difficulty, both financially with the famine and relationally with the fact that your husband has passed away. And she instructed, she challenged, she inspired, she encouraged Ruth. So much so that she talked to her about what she needed to be like in order to get this guy by the name of Boaz. And she said, this is what you've got to do. This is how you've got to make sure that you get this relationship. And she instilled faith in Ruth. And of course, as we know, Ruth and Boaz ultimately were the grandparents of David, or was in the lineage, if you would, of David. This idea that Jesse was the father of David, who fell under the lineage of Ruth and Boaz. The inspiration that Naomi offered, and really the mother-like figure that she was in Ruth's life. So much so that the loyalty was phenomenal. She said, hey, wherever you go, I will go. Whoever is your God is going to be my God. What a legacy. Yeah. What an unbelievable legacy. You know, the scripture talks about the idea that one day when we get to heaven, that all the deeds that we do that was never acknowledged will be ultimately be rewarded in heaven. Conceptually speaking, the Bible talks about the fact, don't look for praises here on earth. For if you look for praises here on earth, you're not going to get it in heaven. You would have received already your reward. I believe with all of my being, both given my experiences and given what I read the scriptures, the greatest reaper of rewards are going to be mothers and the faith that they have left. And how so much silence is in the scriptures about what maybe even Moses's mother and the courage that she had to defy the Pharaoh's edict and to put her 3-month-old son in a river and say, may God be with him. She had a plan that she was going to do whatever it took to protect her son. And Moses, of course, was a type of Christ that ultimately led the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. Yeah. Her incredible desire and courage. And ultimately, God rewarded her. The Pharaoh's daughter who found Moses says, let's go get a Hebrew woman to take care of this guy. And she started paying this Hebrew woman to take care of this little baby, happened to be his mother. And it's a remarkable, the courage that was put in there. You know, it's so interesting. Oftentimes when, especially when our kids were younger, the kids will be jibber jabbering, okay? And I'll say, honey, what are they saying? And somehow, somewhere, Melanie knew what they were saying. She could interpret. I said, I didn't know that you have the gift of tongue speaking and tongue interpretation. But it's amazing the connection that moms have with their children. It's phenomenal. The idea this morning, as we are talking about the legacy of mothers, is to imagine. Imagine the legacy that you are leaving.
Yeah.
Melanie said, oftentimes we wonder, is it even having an impact? I wonder when Naomi was doing what she was doing and she was instructing Ruth, whether or not she knew that Israel's greatest human king, on which all of the Jewish nation, they looked to David as their greatest earthly king. They looked to him. Did she know that that's what she was doing? Did Moses' mother Did she know what she was doing? That she was, I'm not so convinced that she knew, hey, God told me I need, this is the deliverer of the people of Israel. So let me do whatever I need to. She was just doing what she felt was right and good in what she wanted to do. And what that led to was phenomenal, phenomenal history. Or we think about Hannah, who was without child. And she prayed to God and she says, God, if you give me a child, I'm going to give him to you. Mm. And of course, she bore Samuel, who became the first judge / prophet of Israel. And of course, she bore 5 more children. Did she know what she was asking? She just wanted to have a child. There are a lot of times that the interpretation or what we're doing is simply an expression of our faith. And mothers, I want to encourage you, a mother-like figure, as Ruth was, as Naomi was to Ruth. If you live a faithful life, the legacy of, that you'll be leaving, who knows? And only in heaven are we fully going to realize. You know, the book of Paul writes in Thessalonica, and he says, you know, every water given, every drink given will be acknowledged on that great day. You know, those nights that you spend crying, you spend worrying, you spend praying, it will be acknowledged and rewarded. But if there's anybody in this world that says, I'm not doing this for posterity's sake, for me to be accredited. It's mothers. I've seen mothers who do things that nobody else would do. No fathers, no brothers, no sisters. I've seen mothers so loyal to their children. They will fly across continents simply to be with them because I'm talking even adult children. It's amazing, this connection. In spite of all these characteristics, the greatest legacy that we can leave for our children is not a cottage in Georgian Bay. It's not an account so I don't have to work anymore. It's to what Paul wrote to Timothy about Lois and Eunice. Oh, if we could gather from them, what did they do? What did they say? What is your legacy going to be written? What is it going to be said about you? You know, for me, honey, I am so blessed that I could not have chosen, I could not have written, I could not have compiled a better mother for our 3 children. I thank God for the blessing that you have given me in being a great mother. I am so grateful that our children can look to this woman and to say, that is my mother, and her faithfulness is very, very clear. You know, we're not doing this because of Melanie. That's just an example. It's not Melanie lifting elevation time at all. But the idea is that the legacy that we can leave, and it can begin now. There are a lot of people who think, man, I've blown it. I don't know if I can really change. Hopefully my children are going to change this path for us. The pathology, I can't change it. That's not the God that we serve. And the God that we serve that says it can begin now. You know, we're so excited. Someone did that and said, hey, listen, I want to change the pathology of my life. And we're going to watch a video of a woman who once began her journey with God. And then she, for a number of reasons, could not continue to walk in faith. And just very recently, just last week, She said, I want to continue in my faith again. And she has been restored in her faith and her relationship with God. I trust you're inspired. She has begun a legacy that she's going to leave with the people that she's touched. And that's not only pertinent to mothers. This lesson that the mother legacy can be used for us all. May God bless you. If you've not yet called your mother, please go ahead and do that. Please go ahead and encourage your mother. Say something specific that you are encouraged and why she is who she is and why you appreciate and adore her. I called my mom this morning. That's one of the first things I did. I called my mom and just to tell her how much I love her, how much I appreciate her. My mom is the greatest mom I could have hoped for. And I told her that. And I pray that you really acknowledge, you know, should we do this every week? Sure, we should. But the idea is let's at least use one day to say, Mom, I love you and I appreciate you. May God bless you as you cook lunch for your moms, as you cook lunch maybe for your spouse or wherever you're at. I know, babe, that I am able to walk this journey of faith because I'm walking it with you and the legacy that you leave in what we do. Amen. Let's enjoy Janice's restoration. She's going to be sharing here for a second. Then we'll have a song entitled Amazing Grace. And then after that, we're going to have communions in our community groups all across Halifax and Ottawa. And if you want to be a part of this faith community, both in Halifax and Ottawa, please connect with us. We would love to be able to do that. That's what Janice did. She's going to be sharing in a second. And she now is part of this faith community. We're very, very excited. There are a number of people who within this this community have reached out even during this time and have actually become part of our faith community. Yeah. We want to be able to do that for you as we begin, continue our legacy of faith, just like awesome mothers in the scriptures have done. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.